news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday, May 25th marks 1 year since the death of George Floyd. The murder of an unarmed black man by a Minneapolis police officer, captured on video by a teenager, inflamed the masses and set off months of protests. While marches and other commemorations are planned in Minneapolis and around the world, the Floyd family begins the day visiting Congress before heading over to the White House at President Biden's invitation. The president's goal was for the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2021 to be ready for his signature by now, but they're not quite there yet. All parties involved agree that they'd rather get it right than fast. The big sticking point remains qualified immunity for police, which effectively protects them from any personal liability unless they've been determined to have violated what the court defines as an individual's, quote, clearly established statutory or constitutional rights. On Monday, Karen Bass, the lead House negotiator, and the two lead Senate negotiators, Democrat Cory Booker and Republican Tim Scott, released a statement saying that they're making progress toward a compromise and remain optimistic about the prospects of achieving that goal. Senate Republicans meeting Tuesday to decide whether to counter the White House's latest proposal to lower the total cost to $1.7 trillion, down from $2.4 trillion. But even if they do, the two sides are still about $1.5 trillion apart in new spending after a month of talks and are nowhere near deciding how to pay for it. The Democrats are now considering passing it through reconciliation, where they'd need only 50 votes and no Republican support. And then there's also the matter of a January 6th commission, which should be a no-brainer. But it appears that Mitch McConnell will lead the Republicans in the first filibuster fight of the year over creating a bipartisan commission to probe the attack on the Capitol. Amazing. Well, here we go again. Hurricane season kicks off a week from today, but there have already been two named storms, with the number and scope of the storm seemingly increasing year after year. President Biden announced Monday that he would double government spending to help communities prepare for the storms and other extreme weather events. Biden said NASA would launch an effort to gather more sophisticated climate data. White House National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy said that the president is demonstrating to Americans that the federal government is committed to responding to ways in which the climate has changed. The European Union on Monday barred European airlines from flying over Belarus and initiated the process of banning Belarusian planes from European airspace. The EU, with the support of President Biden, also demanded that Belarus release dissident journalist Roman Protasevich, who was detained after Belarus forced down the Ryanair flight he was taking from Greece to Lithuania. EU leaders referred to the incident as a state hijacking and are expressing outrage. Even before this hijacking, the EU had imposed sanctions on the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, along with some of his associates. They also vowed to expand the sanctions by adding additional listings of pensions and entities as soon as possible. The COVID conundrum continues. Scientists investigating the origin of COVID-19 have zeroed in on previously overlooked data and are now taking another look at the idea that it came from the lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, once dismissed as a conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, young people in the United States, that's 24 and under, are now lagging in vaccinations. U.S. health officials are warning that while young people may be at lower risk of dying from COVID-19, they could still face long-term effects. And on Tuesday morning, Moderna announced that its studies show that its COVID-19 vaccine is 100% effective at stopping infection in kids aged 12 to 17. Despite the progress we're making here, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control warned that because of the virus situation in Japan, even fully vaccinated people should avoid all travel to the country. The Japanese government was quick to point out that the warning is not related to the participation of the U.S. Olympics team. Really? All right. Well, now that Donald Trump is out of office and the adults are back in charge, we've been waiting for the long-promised transparency. But the Justice Department on Monday released part of a memo written in 2019 to justify not charging the then-president with obstructing justice in connection with Robert Mueller's investigation. U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson earlier this month had issued an opinion harshly criticizing former Attorney General Bill Barr and his Justice Department, saying she read the document and found that Barr had been disingenuous when he cited the memo as critical in his determination that Trump had broken no laws. So Jackson ordered the document's release. But Justice Department lawyers asked the judge to keep the rest of the document secret pending an appeal of her ruling, acknowledging that, quote, its briefs could have been clearer, and said the DOJ, quote, deeply regrets the confusion that caused. Well, I'm confused about why the Biden Justice Department would work so hard to keep Trump's Justice Department secrets secret. And on a related note, it's been 2 years since Don McGahn, the former White House counsel to Trump, was subpoenaed to testify about allegations of obstruction of justice, as depicted in the Mueller report. Well, now it's nailed down. McGahn will testify before a House committee next week. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Trump's buddy, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, is apparently looking out for him. On Monday, DeSantis signed a law that fines social media companies for permanently banning political candidates in the state. The law, a direct response to Facebook and Twitter suspensions of the former guy from their platforms, also makes it easier for Floridians to sue the companies. This is the first state law that regulates how tech companies moderate speech. The law makes it illegal for a social media company to ban any candidate for state office for more than 14 days. It imposes a $250,000 daily fine for violations and requires companies to state clearly why they decide to remove or leave up content. A legal challenge is expected. Texas apparently felt the need to step it up in its quest to be named the worst state in the union. Legislators there passed a new law allowing people to carry handguns without a license or the background check and training that go with it. Seriously, the Republican-dominated legislature approved the measure Monday, sending it to Governor Greg Abbott, who said he will sign it despite the objections of law enforcement groups who say it will endanger the public and police. Gun control groups obviously also oppose the measure, noting the state's recent history of mass shootings, including those at an El Paso Walmart, a church in Sutherland Springs, and a high school outside Houston. Politics makes strange bedfellows. So on Tuesday, a bipartisan group of senators will launch the Senate Financial Innovation Caucus, led by Cynthia Lummis, Republican of Wyoming, and Kyrsten Sinema, alleged Democrat of Arizona. Also joining the caucus are Democrat John Hickenlooper, along with Republicans Tim Scott, Marsha Blackburn, Mike Braun, and Bill Cassidy. Where's Joe Manchin? And finally, because Amazon isn't big enough, the behemoth is nearing a deal to buy the Hollywood studio MGM Holdings for almost $9 billion. A deal could be announced as soon as Tuesday. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.